Hey friends, it's John here with End of Effort. Today I just had something that's been weighing on my heart for quite a while since I saw a little message on social media. It was a well-known minister came out and said it's time to jump ship. Time to get off the cruise ship and get on to the warship. And I want to break that down a little bit for you as far as the way I see it. And again, like I've said many times, I see it a certain way and everybody else sees things a little differently, and that's okay. We all have different paradigms. We all have different levels of understanding. But one thing I've discovered is that the more you become one with Christ, the Christ that's already said yes to oneness with you before the foundation of the world, the more you begin to see and hear, think and feel with his mind. And that has nothing to do with religion. Zero. Zippo. Nada. Nothing to do with man-made religion. We know that, right? We know that in theory. But when you begin to experience that in truth in your everyday life, I'm telling you, you will taste freedom like you've never known. And a freedom away from fear of what the institutions of the world try to place on your life. The threats, the labeling, the judgments, and all of that. You're free from it because you know who you are in him, and you know that he's smiling upon your life because it's finished. The work is finished. He said it is finished, and that means the glorious gospel lives and resonates and dwells on the inside of you and I. If, in fact, you've embraced the glorious gospel, I know that's elementary, but it has to be said because so many people don't even understand what the gospel really is. It's good news, we know that, but it's also the indwelling of the creator of the universe by his spirit living and moving and having his being on the inside of you and I to the point of comfortability, meaning that we're comfortable in our own skin, finally. And our own authentic self, finally. Not comfortable in the fact that, oh, okay, I'm just going to cruise my way through life and nothing's going to happen by way of adversity. No, not necessarily. However, we can posture ourselves to where joy is the forefront of our lives. We can be on the cruise ship of joy. We can be on the cruise ship of the good news of the gospel. But when we look at a warship, to me that looks like a whole lot of sweat and toil and effort. And I'm going to talk about that here. So thanks for joining me in this session. We're on a party cruise, friends. We're on a party cruise. And I know that, that's just like fingernails on a chalkboard to those that are bent on war. Those that have been conditioned to believe that everything's a battle. Can I just say that that is a false narrative that the church has dispensed for eons? I should say the institutionalized church. Because the real, glorious, genuine, authentic church, you and I, we're alive and well, living and moving and having our being in the glorious gospel of joy. The one that Jesus said, it is finished, let your joy be full. That's what he gave an example of. The joy, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the hardship. He endured the cross. For the joy unspeakable. In other words, man put Jesus on the cross. God the Father wasn't a cruel taskmaster saying, okay, I'm going to punish my son here, place all of this evil on his life in order to redeem humanity. I mean, how twisted is that? Yet that's what a lot of theology teaches us. I mean, think about doing that to your own son. Does that excite you at all? Does that make you feel good? Does that bring joy to your life? Is there a better way? Of course there is. See, when you look at it from the perspective of mankind and the fallenness of humanity and the cruelty that's in the hearts of men, you can see where when unconditional love walked by and they didn't want to have any part of it. Well, what do you want to do with unconditional love if you're full of hate and anger? You want to kill it if you can. And so that's exactly what they attempted to do. Put him on the cross. We don't know what else to do with this guy because he's disrupting the entire planet right now, causing joy to rise in hearts, and we just can't have joy. We just can't have any good news right now because we're hell-bent on living in survival mode, said the Pharisee and the Phagisee and the Sarasota. Not Sarasota, Florida. No way. That's a great place. You know what I'm saying? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, what we have here is the cruelty of man trying to kill unconditional love. It didn't get very far, did it? So now we have this risen, glorious, wonderful friend called Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, living and moving and having his being on the inside of you and I. And if that's not good news, I don't know what is. So when we're looking at the simplicity and the childlike nature of that very scenario, I mean, it's very simple when you think about it. Love came. They tried to kill love because they couldn't handle it, didn't want to submit, didn't want to succumb, didn't want to become one, in other words, with one, with love. They couldn't understand that there was this God that would come in human skin and display an unconditional love that said, hey, you're all welcome. They didn't know. They were used to controlling lives and controlling their own life. And then all of a sudden, a disruption comes in the midst of humanity. And we know the story. But the story is just not told in a good light enough. It's just not told that way enough. It's always this scenario of, okay, we're in a spiritual battle. Everything's a fight. Everything's a struggle. It's hard being a Christian. It's hard being a follower of Christ. You know, you hear all this stuff. It's so hard to live this righteous life. It's so hard. Hard. You know. And I'm thinking, what? It is? It's only hard and difficult when we dwell in the cesspool of survival mentalities. That's when it's hard. The fight, flight, and freeze syndrome that many people are engaged in because they've been conditioned through religion to believe they should live in the war. And because they believe they're in a battle all the time, then they're going to be fighting for their life, gasping for air every second of every day. Because after all, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, might, and dominion, brother. So because we do, everything's a battle. Well, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, don't we have a choice? Because the fruit of the Spirit is the exact opposite of that. And isn't that's what Holy Spirit produces and grows and matures in our lives? So if love, joy, and peace, the first three there, the goodness is in there, kindness, you know, long-suffering just means that, hey, I have a listening ear that's willing to ride it out with you and listen so that you can be healed. And the patience and the self-control so that no one else controls your life. I mean, all these are wonderful elements of peace and rest and joy. So if that's what Holy Spirit matures inside of us because he's one with us, then that isn't war, my friend. Oh, yes, Galatians 5:16 through 23 says that the spirit and the flesh are at war with one another. They're at odds. They're in opposition to what... Well, yeah, that doesn't mean you dwell in spiritual warfare all the time. It means that you side with one of them. You side with those elements. You have a choice. I have a choice to sink into and to let and allow those things to dictate my life. And so there you go. I can side with the works of the flesh and give into my lower nature in every way. Or I can say no. I've got the power by the finished work to overcome those things and dwell in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all the rest. And so that's not a war. It's a choice. It's a decision to engage and live and dwell in those because we've been empowered to be able to walk those things out with the oil of ease. When we, here's the caveat, when we sink into oneness with Christ. If we still believe we're in duality, if we still believe that there's this major separation, this chasm, this big gaping divide between us and God the Father, Holy Spirit, and Yeshua, Jesus, if we believe there's this big, massive divide and this huge space in between us, then we are going to live in fear and survival mode. It's just the way it is. Unfortunately, that's what much of institutional Christianity teaches us to do. However, when we dwell in the reality of the authentic nature of Jesus inside of us, when we sink into, when we let go and allow Him to just saturate us in every way with wisdom and understanding and growth and maturing and the fruit, then we have this blissful nature much of the time. Yes, we live in a fallen society, but we can overcome it by our what? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world inside of you and outside of you. I have overcome it. So what is the response you should have because I have? Be of good cheer. What does that mean? Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if the joy of the Lord is my strength, then I'm cheerful if I engage it. But again, if I believe I'm in war all the time and I'm on the big bad warship and I should be warring, war, 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 then I'm going to be in torment and I'm never going to be at peace and rest. So what happens is this, friends, pretty obvious, but I'm going to mention it, is that when we see, especially in America, okay, I realize other parts of the world have their own issues, but in America, we have some tipsy-turvy issues right now, okay? Depending on your flavor, Democrat or Republican or independent, is dependent upon how you see through your worldview lens. The lens of your worldview and how you see things is dependent upon who you've sided with and who you've made your bed with. So maybe you're not political at all. Well, that's better. But I would venture that most people are in some way, shape, or form because the church has been politicized. And anytime you're in an institution, whether it's government, education, media, religion, you name it, then there's the political spirit intertwined in there somewhere. It's saturating somewhere. So you can't help but kind of step into that when you're a part of one of those parties. And maybe you're, again, maybe you're not a part of any of it. And that's your choice. That's your decision. But I would say a lot of people right now, the political climate has been very heightened in their neurological system, their nervous system, and their ideology and how they see things spiritually and mentally. So what happens is when a person, let's just take an individual that has been really involved in politics, maybe they're not even called to the governmental arena, but they care about their country, they love this land, and they cast forth their vote, depending on what their belief system is, right? We do it all the time, we do it every election cycle. So you have somebody that casts their vote, depending on their conditioning and their training and what they believe. So they cast their vote as Republican because they're a Trump supporter, so they cast their vote. And they're like, man, I can't stand this Biden, and everything is going to hell in a handbasket, and man, it's turning into a communist party, and it's just a big, fat cluster right now, right? So that's the way you would think. And so because you would think that way, then, if you've been conditioned by an institutional mindset and you're living in survival mode and don't even realize how much you are, then you're cast forth your vote Republican, and you're, every time you turn on the news, yeah, that stinking rotten Biden and Kamala haven't even been to the border yet. You know, how dare they? They should burn in hell, kind of thing, you know? So you have that mindset. Maybe you wouldn't say it out loud, but you certainly think it when you sit on the couch and throw things across the room. So if that is your mentality and your mindset, then of course the outcome would be, I've got to go to war and I've got to get off that cruise ship because I've been cruising too long eating Doritos. So I've got to get off that big bad boy there, because it's just the, it's deception. It's full of, you know, laziness and those rotten, lazy Christians, they're not doing any good. So, you know, I've got to get on the warship and go to war with all my warring buddies. So then you jump on the warship and you go to war. Hamana, shamana, hamana, shamana for 15 hours a day. And then you cry out to God. You keep crying out to God. God, do something. Kill that Biden. Kill that vice. Kill them all, Lord. FedEx them to Jesus and unwrap them later kind of deal, you know. And again, maybe you might not say that out loud, but you might be thinking it. So if you are even a shred of an inkling towards that mindset, then you'd be on the warship, warring it out, right? And maybe that's the extreme, but believe me, trust me, friends, there are people out there that think like that. I come across them all the time in my messenger, and then I have to deal with it somehow, right? So you have the extremes there about, you know, calling for death on people and stuff like that. So you have those extremes. And remember, friend, I'll gently remind you that we no longer live in an old covenant reality. We live in the New Testament finished work of Jesus Christ, where he said, I wish that none, no president, no vice president, no senator, no one, I wish that none would perish, but that all may come and taste the good life that I have for him. Sorry about that. That was a loud car driving by. So I just remind you of that he's all about life. I came to give you life and that more abundantly, not death or calling for death. Remember when the sons of thunder, they came and they said, well, Lord, let's just call fire down on them and we'll FedEx them up to you real quick. Like, you know, let's just take care of business here because we're tired of it. Well, you know how he rebuked them. So that's just a little reminder there of that we should be calling for life, not anything else. So if you're on the warship, you know, these are kind of scenarios here that of this type of mindset that finds itself on a warship. Okay, so then what do? You're in intercession all the time, always efforting, pushing out, forcing out, giving out. Okay, you say, well, what's wrong with intercession, John? Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it when it is, in fact, spirit-induced, God-induced, God-led. So then you know the difference. You should know the difference, right? Where you know when you're being led and prompted to engage in something, and when you're just angry and you want to force the engagement anyway. I mean, this is simple 101, intercession 101. You know when you're forcing and pushing because of what you see with your natural eyes and your senses in the news media or your social media. So then you get all upset, and then you run into your intercessory prayer room there and you start crying out to God to do something because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Okay? You know it's true. You know it's true. You know it is. So, because we know that is true, I could just hear somebody say, well, not me, John. I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm holier than thou. I don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, that is just wrong. I would never sit there and wish ill will on anyone. I just go in and start warring for God to do something immediately because I'm angry. I'm angry that the election got stolen. I'm angry that Biden's in. I'm angry that they ripped it off from Trump or any other person in Congress that should have gotten in there. I'm just so angry about it. Well, okay. So you're angry about it. What are you going to do about it? Can you do anything about it? If you believe that's true, can you really do anything about it? Well, yeah, John, I can go in and intercede and we can change this thing in a minute. Okay. Well, how come it hasn't been changed yet? Oh, John, you're a heretic. You just said the unpardonable. You just said something that just ticked me off. I'm going to go intercede right now for you, pal. So then you go in there and you're like, John's in unbelief. I can't believe this. He's not believing that Trump's going to get in these 4 years. Oh, here's another false prophet speaking to us here. Here's another false one, pal. Hey, church world, here's another false one. Well, too late. I've already been called that 1,000 times over the years. So there's nothing new. Is that really the situation? Really? Seriously? No. So let's just get that off the table. The real situation here is when we look and feel and move with our natural senses, what we're doing is we're walking by sight and not by faith. And so when we walk by sight and the conditions around us, then we're leading the way through circumstantial intercession instead of spirit-led prayer, spirit-led intercession, okay? And that's what I mean by the divide here. You got to know how to divide asunder and really allow the promptings to lead you forth and then to pray what is on his heart and on his mind. And you know what that is? Most of the time when you've been freed from an institutional mindset, most of the time because he already knows what you have need of, he already knows what you're going to pray, he already knows what you're going to say, he just wants to commune with you while you're in reception mode so that you can get the download and then speak out a decree or give an oracle forward as he gives it. See, when we posture ourselves in reception mode in the intercessory room, I'm just talking about intercessors now, when we posture ourselves to receive first, instead of going in with our circumstantial feeling with my senses type of prayer, but we're receiving the download first, he may not even have us pray on the warship in any way, shape, or form. It may be that God is laughing. He sits in the heavens and laughs. And then you go in and you start laughing along with him in fellowship because you're in receiving mode. And then when you sit in the heavens and laugh, you hold all these fallen things and entities in derision. In other words, you bring confusion upon the camp and they scatter because you began to laugh. Laughter is medicine. And it's also a powerful substance that begins to hold things to account that need to be held to account. Laughter is more powerful than we ever realized. So what it signifies is that, okay, first of all, he sits and laughs, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And because the joy of the Lord is my strength, then I'm exuding strength out into the atmosphere. I'm not exuding wishes or wants or desires. I'm wishing that things will change. I'm begging for things to change. No, what we're exuding is strength that goes out into the atmosphere around us, and then it links up with others across the face of the earth in like spirit and in like posturing. And then we start to see some stuff really move and really shift and transform. So it is a different way to look at it. And so then, therefore, my friend, I would ask you, which ship do you want to be on? Okay, because a cruise ship, a party ship, is just that. I'm partying, I'm laughing, I'm in faith, and I'm in joy. I'm watching and seeing and moving and living in my being the fruit of the Spirit and what Jesus has already finished on the cross. And therefore, I believe that he alone, shifts and changes and transforms the hearts of men. So therefore, on a cruise ship, I can shout for joy and I can laugh my brains out and see a powerful shift in intercession, even more so than warring from a situational feeling with my senses and circumstantial intercession. Because if we're real honest about it, my friends, many of us have or still are engaged in praying from what we see in the natural realm. I'm praying because I watched a Mark Levin show, and therefore I'm really riled up. I'm really angry at the other side, the Democratic Party, And so therefore, I'm going to go into my prayer room and I'm going to scream my brains out and start commanding demons to loose every Democrat on the face of the planet. Friends, you think this is funny? I'm telling you, there is so much truth in that because I've seen it. I've watched it. I've been a lead intercessor in those camps for years in the past. And I can tell you that that is exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. And because it does, it's almost laughable. Like, okay, do we really believe that that's going to, me praying like that is really going to do anything? For real. Why? Number one, we don't have a right heart going in intercession. Number two is, when I'm decreeing and commanding and forcing something that I've seen in the natural without considering the massive master plan of the Father that sees and knows all things and knows all Democrats, knows all Mark Levens, knows all Republicans, knows all independents, and knows all non-political parties on the face of the earth and the plans that he has for them, how would I ever know his heart if I go into full-blown, angry intercession because of what I saw on a one-hour show? How could I ever know the heart of the Father in that? Well, John, I know the heart of the Father in 1 hour. I'm listening to Tucker Carlson, listening to CNN, listening to MSNBC. I know the heart of the Father because I watch news every night. I listen to the real, genuine Politico website, YouTube videos. I know it all, and politically, because I got all the real, raw political news sites, and I have the heart of my Father. No, you don't. I'm just going to say it like it is. No, you don't. John, you're judging me. How can you judge me like that? Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm judging the spirit of a reality that happens in a lot of people, especially in this political climate. And if you think, and I think, we're going to have the heart of the Father listening to political programs, we are sadly mistaken. Can we glean some truth out of those? Of course. Some. There's truth in everything. But to get a whole picture, a totality of a person's journey, a person's life, Anderson Cooper's life. I know some of you just hate that man. Some of you hate the current administration. I mean, you loathe them. And it's like, whoa, hold on a minute. What happened to our love? What happened to the fruit of the Spirit? What happened to the discernment factor? Well, part of it is because we've been consumed by a political spirit and an institutional one. And when you combine those lethal components together, oh man, it is a Molotov cocktail that looks larger than the sun. I mean, it is lethal. And so when we have those two elements at play and then our survival mode on top of it, of course we wonder why we walk around PO'd all the time, angry and discontented and discombobulated. I love that word, discombobulated. And then we wonder why we're not effective. We wonder why, where's the anointing? Where's the juice? Where's the presence? Well, the fact of the matter is Jesus never left you nor forsaked you, but your mentality has removed you from thinking with the mind of Christ, right? It happens all the time with all of us. And this is why it's so vital that we allow a permeation of the oneness to come up in every sense, every cell, every fiber of our being to do the thinking for us, having the mind of Christ. That's why I talk a lot about heart coherence. Amy and I, if you listen to our stuff and you read our materials, becoming heart coherent is just about everything in this earth suit. Heart coherence means that I've allowed love to shape my heart, to shape my mind, to shape my soul. And it puts me at rest. It puts me in ease. It puts me in a place of peace so that the rivers of living water coming out of heart coherence can splash up into my brain. And then my brain gets coherent. And then guess what? I start taking on the mind of Christ. That's how it works. And so when that happens, then you've allowed this saturation to take place to the degree that it starts peeling away the institutional conditioning. And when that starts falling off, then you can see clearly now that the shame is gone. It's going to be a bright, bright Mind of Christ Day. That's right. Bright Mind of Christ Day. And when we have that, then we start having compassion and love. We start seeing from a broader perspective. We start looking at things on the cruise ship as, wow, look at them on the warship. Man, they could have so much more fun, be so more effective if they would come over here and intercede from a place of peace and joy and rest and be led doing it rather than forcing it through what they see and feel in the natural. See, oftentimes the prophetic camps and the warring camps, the charismatic camps, oftentimes, you know, when you have a prophetic flavor about your life, you see things in black and white. And when we're in the Enneagram number 8, if you know anything about those Enneagrams and the numbers, the Enneagram number 8 is a very direct, straightforward, tell it like it is personality. And you have a lot of those individuals in the prophetic camps. And because we do, then it is all a whole lot of black and white. This is the way it is. I'm going to go to war. And if you're not warring, you're on the cruise ship and you're in rebellion. You're in disobedience. You need to jump ship and come over here to the warring side with me, because after all, we have to shape this thing. We have to shift it and change it according to our wants, our timing, and our desires, because life is pretty miserable right now for me. And because you feel it's so miserable for your life, you want everybody to get on that boat and feel the same way. Otherwise, they're just not adding up. They're not stepping up to the plate. And they're a bunch of lazy, loser Christians. They're just not adding up. And they're in disobedience. And they're cruising along when they should be warring along with myself. Have you ever sat and really looked with the eyes of compassion and true discernment, looked at 100 intercessors gathered? Well, let's just take 10 intercessors gathered. 5. And they're warring and they're embedded in the institutional world, and you're looking at them from the outside in, and you just sit there and discern and have compassion, not judging, but you just sit there and allow Jesus to look through your eyes. You will see a whole lot of stuff, let me tell you. And then if your heart is coherent, you will start praying for them. Because there's a whole lot of efforting going on that is standing on the outside of spirit-led prayer. There just is, my friends. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. The good news is, Amy and I put out a word on our site, endofeffort.com. You can go there and see. There's a word about the party ship. And it was a full-blown vision that I had in Canada about what's coming. And it's just that. It's a big aircraft carrier that kind of looked like a warship, but it was a party ship. It was a cruise ship. And its weaponry was in fact, joy. Its weaponry was, in fact, the fruit of the Spirit. Its weaponry was peace. Its weaponry was feeling good. Its weaponry was heart coherence. Its weaponry was full-blown creativity and color. And on the front of it was kingdom and gospel and peace, and it was like the kingdom cruise gospel ship, and it was coming, and it was bigger than life, it was bigger than the universe, the cosmos, but it was on the seas of all seas, and it was coming, and it was like seen and known and heard for what? It's joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, when we say those three things, unspeakable, full of glory, unspeakable, full of glory. When we say those things, do we really understand what they mean? Have you ever tasted unspeakable joy? Have you ever engaged in and allowed it to take over your life in this full of glory joy? If you have, then you've tasted a strength that is beyond your own. And you have this strength now saturating your life that actually draws things to you and draws people towards you so that they come and they inquire rather than you chasing them down, trying to force them to say a prayer. They actually chase you down and they say, whoa, what is this joy? What is this color? What is this creativity? What is this amazing power that's emanating, pulsating out of your life? I've got to have it. What is it? Who is it? What is this? What's happening? And then you can say, well, it's the Jesus you never knew. It's the non-religious one that's dwelling on the inside of you. You just didn't know it. I mean, doesn't that sound a lot more like the gospel than, oh, I'm on a dreaded black, dark warship? This dark, dark as night war. Everything's doom and gloom. It's not about the bride and groom. It's doom and gloom. Because I'm in doom and gloom. I'm in survival mode. Then I want you on this ship with me because misery enjoys its company. And I need some company here. Oh, John, what are you talking about? That's not what real intercession is. You don't have a clue, pal. What are you talking about? Oh, man, we don't do that. And what are you drinking? I'm just going to sail off for a minute there. Okay, the real intercession that's birthed from the Spirit looks more like joy than screaming my brains out trying to get something done. Again, my friends, the finished work is already living and dwelling and moving and having its being on the inside of you. He's called Yeshua, Jesus, in oneness with you. And because he's powered you up in this earth suit, in oneness with him, then everything is about gratitude. Everything is about thankfulness. Everything is about joy. And when we take that Spirit on, oh man, you will see things move in an acceleration like you've never known. See things pop and shift and change and transformed in a way that 100,000 hours of the other kind of warring intercession could never do. Let me ask you this, intercessor. When you kick back and you sit down and you begin to receive and let joy bubble up and you take that on for a while, have you seen more things shift by taking on that posture, or have you seen more things shift by you screaming your brains out for 100 hours? I'll wait. And here's why it's more powerful to stay in receiving mode and then allow the birthing of a genuinely God-inspired oracle to come out of your mouth, because you're decreeing things, so you're establishing things rather than begging for things to happen. When you allow that to happen, there is this boldness and this faith and this confidence and this joy that begins to override your life, and then you go, whoa, what have I been missing all this time? What have I been missing? This is awesome. This is exactly what I've been wanting to feel and know about who he is. See, but when you take on the other, then you're always left wondering, okay, if you're honest about it, you'll be wondering, was that me just kind of forcing something there? Was that me just kind of begging and pleading with God for something to change? Or was that really Spirit inspired? Was that really God inspired? You know, was that, how do I feel right now after I come out of that? Do I feel like, oh man, I'm so pumped up, I want to go rip somebody's head off? Or do I feel like, wow, man, something really shifted, something really moved? Now, some of you may say, John, when I cry out and I decree and I command and I start blasting the vocal cords out, I feel a shift. I feel something move every single time. Well, let me present this to you. Maybe part of you was coherent and part of you wasn't, because you are growing. You're growing and you're changing and you're taking on more of the mind of Christ. And maybe, just maybe, God's grace stepped in and said, hey, I'm going to give you one. I'll answer a few here. While you're moving through and growing up into a mature son or daughter of love. So yeah, I mean, you ask him, it's like the scripture, you know. I get a kick out of this one sometimes when, you know, they people use the unjust judge scripture, like, you know, they stood before him and begged him day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. And then the judge gets ticked off and says, okay, you're annoying me. You are annoying. So I'm going to grant you your wish. I'm going to grant you desire. I'm going to give the verdict. Here you go. And then they're like, you know, people talk about this like it's some glorious thing. Well, is that love? That I have to go and beg my father, or go beg somebody for something, and then they're annoyed with me? And when they, because they get so annoyed, they're like, here, get out of my face. I'm tired of hearing your whining about it. What? I mean, seriously, what is that about? Well, that's just it. That's annoying. That whole scenario is annoying. But then he goes on to say in that very passage of scripture, but will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? Now, you can interpret that several ways. But one juicy way to look at it is he's looking for somebody that'll just believe him without all the begging and hollering and squalling. Looking for somebody, looking to and fro, just look for one man, one woman, one boy, one girl, just to believe. Only believe, just to believe him. I mean, isn't that what Jesus was challenging the disciples with right and left? Constantly. Constantly. Like, oh man, how long are you going to just, how long? Seriously, I love you so much and I just want you to see this. I want you to get this. I'm not annoyed with you. I'm not angry. I'm grieving because I know you. You've got it in you. You've got it right there. I'm just feeling your pain. I'm feeling your pain because you're struggling to try and figure this out. Well, it's not about figuring it out. It's about sinking into and allowing life and my strength to bubble up in you so that it'll override the conditioning and the non-religious Jesus, me, come forth in you. And then, boy, watch the waves subside. Watch the clouds part in my favor towards you. See, what the world is looking for is not more confusion and chaos. They're not looking for somebody that's standing there warring about how bad they are. What they're looking for is hope. They're looking for a tangibility in love. They're looking for real peace. They're looking for this fruit, this beautiful substance called the fruit of the Spirit that should be emanating and shining in our life, or at least growing in us to some degree. They're looking for that, my friends. They're not looking around the next corner for more war and more battles and more warships. I mean, think about it. In reality, get on the warship, get off the cruise ship, get on the warship. Well, okay, let's all get on the warship as a church. Here comes the warship. Here we come. Here we come. We're cruising down the shoreline, and here we are, the glorious church. And then the world looks on and goes, ooh, wow, what's going on over there? They're all warring about something. Oh, wait, let's get a little closer. Oh, what is that? They're calling us names. They're saying that we're wicked sinners. They're calling us heathens, and they're calling for our death and destruction. They're calling for us to be punished. Wow, what is that? Man, I feel that about myself. every time I go home at night, I get the war with my wife or my husband. What? The kids are at my throat. And the dog is biting my ankles. Man, do I really want to get on that ship over there? But wait, oh, hold on. What's that one over there? Whoa, that one's shining as bright as the sun. Is that a ship? Yeah, look at over there, Sammy, Bobby, Billy, Shaniqua. Look at that. Oh, wow, that looks like a fun party boat. Man, that's a party. Look at that over there. That looks like a party. Whoa, look at those brilliant colors coming out of it. What are they shouting? What do I hear? Welcome aboard. You're highly loved and you're favored. And whoa, I am? I'm loved? Yeah, grace is extended to you. And come on board. We want to have a blast. We want to show you the non-religious Jesus that is all the way for you. And he wants you to come home and be with him and have a blast being creative and being the authentic, genuine you. And he's healing you. He's transforming you by his love. You want that? I mean, wow, this is so much fun on this ship. Yeah, I want that one. How about it, Shaniqua, Billy Bob, and Kevin? Yeah, let's go get on that ship. Wow, man, that's what I've been looking for my entire life. See the difference, my friends? Now again, some would say, John, that's not what we do. We're tearing down principalities, powers, might, and dominion. We are tearing down strongholds. We are rebuking everything that has a hint of darkness to it. We are commanding these things to disattach, to be removed from people's lives so that they can see the glorious, bright, and brilliant ship, glorious gospel ship. Okay. Well, like I said, if it's led by the Spirit to decree a certain thing about someone's identity, that is 10 million times more powerful than calling them a wicked, blowhard sinner. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can do what you want, friends. You can do what you want. You have a powerful thing called the free will. And I encourage you to do what's in your heart to do, because everyone's at different levels of understanding. I get it. I was there once myself. Okay? I was once the person that lived and moved and had their being on the warship. And I can tell you, after being away from that for years, that the cruise party ship that I'm on now, called the Gospel, and the non-religious Jesus dwelling inside of me, having the blast of a lifetime with me, is way more effective in winning people over permanently than it ever was trying to command some imp to leave their life. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time and a place to go and to call some things out off someone, but again, is it led? Is it genuinely led? Or is it because I'm ticked off because I watched some news show? Or I'm just angry with the way things are right now? Am I in survival mode? Am I embedded and entrenched in a conditioning that I didn't even realize was conditioning me up until this point? So I guess the overall writing theme, the overall theme of this message is, how free do you believe you are? How free do you want to be? Those are the questions that I'm going to leave you with on this session. How free do you believe you are, and how free do you want to be? Because there's as much freedom as you can think or imagine, and beyond. And freedom meaning that I believe that we're in the move of God, and I just say that for the folks that have that terminology. I believe we're waking up. Here's my verbiage, is that I believe that we're awakening and we're waking up to being our real self, being the genuine, authentic self. And out of that, we can rest enough because we're no longer shaken by our ravaged, traumatized neurological system causing us to be in fight, flight, and freeze all the time. We can be at rest and peace enough to realize and to see and to have our eyes open to the level of authenticity that we are currently in, whether we are actually authentic or we're not. Because to the degree we're authentic with our the real self, meaning that who are you in the living room of life with yourself and your best friend? Somebody that knows you so well and you can really be you. Who is that person? Are you that way much of the time? Like me right now, for example, I'm just being me. This is John. I don't have anything, I don't have a facade to put on. I don't have a performance to engage in. I'm not trying to please anybody. This is how I talk normally. You know, when I do my little singing stuff, that's just me. That's my little goofy nature. You know, that's just me. It just comes out. I can't help it. It just does. Some people like it. Some people can't stand it. That's okay. You do things that I don't like and everybody else doesn't like, and you do things that people really love. That's the beauty of authenticity. And so this moment in time that we're in, God is giving us permission to allow the conditioned layers to fall off through oneness so that we can see clearly enough to engage the growth level of our own authentic nature. And when we see where we're at, when we see, oh, am I being genuine in this? Am I being real and true to myself? Am I being real with others? Am I just being me with those around me? Those kind of questions. When we can answer those honestly, first of all, and then we wait for the answer to rise up in our spirit and we begin to see it for what it is, then now we're starting to see clearly. We're starting to see as he sees us, highly loved and favored and gloriously transformed by his presence in us. When we begin to see those things, now we're coming in some real power. Now we're on that beautiful ivory white and multicolored beautiful party ship called the gospel. When we start seeing that, this is when our influence begins to really grow. And I know, friends, it's almost the complete opposite of what you hear out there in certain circles, because after all, they see that the whatever their paradigm is, whatever their worldview is, when they see it starting to crumble right and left, then they begin to panic, and then they want everybody else to panic with them. It's kind of like seeing the accident on the side of the road or something, and everybody's standing around, they're panicking, and then the cool, calm, collected paramedic that's been, you know, doing it for 25 years walks up and says, okay guys, I got this. And then they're as cool and as calm as a cucumber. Well, everybody panicking in survival mode wants them to freak out and match their emotion. And when they don't match their emotion, it's like Jesus and those standing around him when he came to the Lazarus tomb of Lazarus, and they're like, Jesus, why'd you show up late? You don't care, do you? You could have came here earlier and saved your friend, right? That's just the way it is with survival mentality. They want people to match their emotion. I see it all the time in the workplace. I see it all the time in the things that I engage in with ministry and the corporate world. And you see, especially since COVID's happened, people are highly sensitive and highly emotional. And it's because they haven't gone and let the inner work happen. And so they allow these emotions to rule their life. And then they want, when you are cool and calm and collected, these things, something's wrong with you and you don't give a rip. When in fact, it's the complete opposite. Because when you're cool and calm and collected, then you know who you are. And when your identity takes over in him, then you start seeing power shape the atmosphere, right? Ah, so good. So good, so good to just live and move and have your being in heart coherence. Love you guys. Hope that helped. And we'll see you in the next message.